thank you to the Crow family. It's been a pleasure having them home for the holiday season. The kids, two of the kids will be headed back to college this week, right? Josiah and Abigail, and then Brother Crow will be headed back on the road in a week or so, beginning his meetings for the year 2023. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 13. Luke, chapter 13. Aren't you glad that God never changes? Man, I'm glad that from year to year, He's the same. We change, but God never does. And I sure am glad for that consistency. Luke chapter 13, in this portion of the book of Luke, the Lord Jesus is trying to wake up the listeners about the judgment that is to come. Not only are the disciples being addressed, but certainly there are those whom He is speaking to specifically. And He's trying to get them to get real about what's next for them. After all, if they didn't take heed to the matter seriously, if they weren't listening to what Jesus was saying, then they would surely perish. Now, this is the Lord giving this in Luke chapter 13. And ladies and gentlemen, you know that all these years later, nothing has changed with God's message. How fitting with the song that they just sang. Here we are 2,000 years from when the Lord is speaking that, and we're standing at a new year with a clean slate. If a person does not heed the Word of God, if a person does not know Christ as their Savior, when they die, they will perish and they will go to hell. Likewise, if a person is a Christian, but they don't live for Christ, they too will lose something. The Bible speaks about our reward perishing, and so beginning in verse 1 of chapter 13, going through verse number 9, Jesus just gives several illustrations. They're stories, they're parables, they're pictures that cause us to focus on what's next for us. I want to focus particularly this morning on these couple verses that have to do with the unfruitful fig tree. It starts in verse number 6. If you're able to stand, can I invite you to do that? Just out of the respect for the Word of God, Luke chapter 13, let's begin reading in verse number 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it in the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also. I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. I've entitled the message this morning, Just One More Year. Lord, I pray that you'll help us today, guests and friends and those that are members alike. May our hearts be warmed around the Scripture. Thank you for the privilege of coming together, starting out this year in your house. And I pray that you would be pleased with what takes place in these few moments. And Lord, we ask, Lord, we so desperately ask that the Holy Spirit would be present and that you would speak to our hearts. May you keep us from distraction and confusion. And Lord, help us to hear from you today. I ask that you'll take me from the picture and take the Word of God and let it speak for itself. And then, Lord, we pray that you would challenge each and every one of us. Thank you for this picture, this story, this parable that you gave all these many years ago. And help it to be real again today. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. If you read through verses 1 through 5, you'll find that Jesus has given a couple stories in the beginning of the chapter. Two of them in particular are about catastrophes. I believe that the purpose of those is to cause people to think about the necessity of preparing for the future and to stress the importance of repentance. The Lord is setting the stage for them to recognize that you're not promised tomorrow, and now is the day of repentance. We read that in several places throughout the Bible. When you get to verse number 6, we read about this, what we read, this parable of the unfruitful fig tree. The story's pretty simple. One day, the master of the vineyard is out for a stroll, let's suppose, and he is with him. Maybe they're riding in their side-by-side, I suppose, headed down through the vineyard. You didn't know they had side-by-sides in the New Testament, but they had donkeys pulling theirs. But nonetheless, they were in their side-by-side, and they were checking out the vineyard. And he comes by this one particular tree that we know just from the verbiage he's taken note of in years prior. This particular tree wasn't doing anything, and so the master says, it's time to cut it down. Well, the caretaker is quick to cause him to pause for a moment. He says, wait a minute, my lord, let's give it one more year. Jesus uses that as a parable to bring out some great truths about our Christian life and to cause us to think about what lies ahead for us. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, the very fact that we are in this place this morning is because God has spared you one more year. If the Lord tarries, we are not guaranteed that He will give to us another new year. We're not promised that we will have another season. In fact, there may certainly be some who are present today who may not be spared another year. We don't know, perhaps, what the master of the vineyard of our lives, what he sees and what he observes as he makes his way through our heart. And as we think back over the year 2022, no doubt there's some things that we wish we could do over again. Anybody have something in 22 that you wish you'd have done differently? I'd say that'd be all of us for sure. Perhaps there's some things that we wish if we could go back, now that we can look back and we can see some things that have changed, maybe there's some things that we would do a little bit differently, or perhaps there's some things that we would like to have done that we did not do. But it's in the past. History, we know that we can't change that. We can't redeem that time back, but we can think about the coming. And I'm thankful for this caretaker of this vineyard who had enough foresight to say to the master, let's just give it one more year. Can I ask you a question? What if the master of the vineyard strolled by your heart and said, you've got just one more year? Can I make a couple observations from this passage this morning? And I would encourage you to find a place where you can write them down. It'll come from these four verses in particular that we read. In verse number 6, notice, if you would, number 1, the inspection of the fruit. The inspection of the fruit. The owner, the master of the vineyard, we're not told who he is. We're not told how wealthy he is. But he's coming by specifically for the purpose of looking at the trees. And specifically, he wants to see the fruit. I'd like to see what these vineyards have produced. I'd like to see what this fruit tree and that fruit tree and what this fig tree, I'd like to see what they have brought forth for all the time and all the money and all the effort that he has put into it, for all the labor of paying someone to be a caretaker and daily to go by throughout the vineyard and to care for each of the fig trees. He's noticed year after year, there's one particular tree he's not getting anything in return for. Several years ago, I planted an apple tree in my yard. Brother Glenn gave me that apple tree. At least he said it was an apple tree. It really looked like a stick that he found on the side of the road. But I planted it. And after 2 years, there was a little green leaf. After the first year, I thought, I don't know if the joke's on me, but I'm about to throw this stick away. But I waited, and after a couple years, I had a green leaf. And after a couple more years, I suppose it's been 6 or 7 years now, after a couple more years, I got my first flower. I thought, ha ha, look at that. Last year, I had 2 apples. But this year, I had 6. Now, the squirrels have eaten all 8 of those 6 and 2 apples, but that's a different story. We'll save that for another sermon illustration, perhaps. But there was several times when, as we were mowing around it and weeding around it, I'm thinking, this is silly. Why am I weed eating around every week a stick that's growing in my yard? Why am I taking the time to go around it with the lawnmower? It has no purpose. It's only taking up space. And I suppose that maybe that's what the master of the vineyard feels like as he comes to this place and he comes to this particular tree. in New Testament times, the fig tree had multiple different similarities and multiple purposes. They were used, no doubt, for the fruit that they would get from them. But they were also a shade tree. You would find many times in the Bible where it was something that was utilized for a place of hiding from the heat of the day. They're a symbol of prosperity. They're a symbol of progress in the community. They were a symbol of security because of the root there was, that was there. And then oftentimes in the Bible, it's a picture of a godly life, a fruitful life. And certainly that's what Jesus would use to teach us and teach those who are listeners in this particular day. A fig tree can grow to be enormously large. In fact, if you let it go, it can grow 30 plus feet or more and can branch out everywhere. Over the years, I've had several fig trees that have grown in my yard. We do not eat figs. I got tired of feeding all the birds in the neighborhood, and so I no longer have a fig tree. Now, I know some of you take cause from that, and you say, "Preacher, I should have picked the figs and brought them to you. You should have picked your own figs." But nonetheless, the fig tree has all kinds of purposes. If you trim it back and maintain it, it could be a nice, a beautiful ornament and the fruit that it would bear. And this particular owner has come by this tree 1 year and then 2 years, and now year number three, and he's doing inspection again. And to his disappointment, there's no fruit. Surely he thought, well, on year number three, this has got to be the year that that tree does something. But nothing. Now let me pause for a moment and let me just make a little bit of application on perhaps how this could help you and I as believers. The truth of the matter is, as God looks at your and my life, He is inspecting for fruit. Can I ask you a question? January 1, 2023, does he find fruit? Is there fruit from last year? John chapter 15, verse number 8, Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." I want to ask you, is there evidence in your life that you're a child of God? Is there fruit that you belong to Him? Is the fruit of the Spirit present as you deal with people in the community and you deal with those that work with you and those that work for you? Do you bear fruit of service to the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey, if God's not satisfied with your growth, you shouldn't be. If God's not satisfied with the fruit that is present in your life, who are we to be satisfied? You know what I find in my Christian life? From time to time, God has to prune us. And the pruning, it can be sometimes the bad, but sometimes the good even needs pruning. I've noticed over the years with my fig tree, with my pecan trees, with my apple tree, with the list goes on of things that grow in my yard, I've noticed that from time to time, if they're going to flourish, I've got to cut them back some. You got to get rid of that which is dead space and those branches and those limbs that are taking up space, but sometimes you even have to cut back some of the new growth so that the fruit can then flourish. I don't like the pruning stage in my Christian life. Sometimes it hurts, but it helps. You may not enjoy it, but you need it. Because you need to be fruitful so that you can be useful. Say, "Preacher, what fruit is God looking for in my life?" Well, long is the list of that throughout the Scripture. In fact, that's probably a whole nother message, but the Bible gives to us all kinds of evidences that He would be looking for in Proverbs chapter 11. He talks about the fruit of a soul winner, and the Bible tells us that we are to be sowing the seed, and there should be fruit of our labor of giving out the gospel. Can I ask you a question? How many people have you personally led to the Lord Jesus Christ? You look back over the year 2022 and you were to take inventory of the fruit of your life, perhaps you'd be able to say, "Well, there was that one, or there was those three, or maybe there was those four." But you know, for most Christians, how many people were you a part of at least sowing the seed and getting them under the gospel and maybe getting them to the house of God? There's a fruit of us giving out the gospel. And then there's fruit of spiritual growth. Paul spoke about that in Romans chapter 6. He spoke about fruit unto holiness. In other words, God could see in his life, and he ought to see in our life, that holiness abounds, and there's a change in my Christian life. It is evident that I'm more and more, day by day, like the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about that in the service on Wednesday night, if you were here. And then the Bible speaks about a fruit of our service. Colossians chapter 1 says that we walk worthy, that we would bear much fruit. And I'm just wondering this morning, I'm just asking, if the Lord comes down through the rows of the vineyard of our heart, and if he's doing inspection, what kind of fruit does he see? Now the truth is, any Christian with any sense of humility would be able to say, boy, I'm sure not what I ought to be. I sure wish that I was in a little better place spiritually. But there's a difference between fruit failure. There's a difference in me being a delight to the Lord or being a disappointment to the Lord. And the owner of the fig tree, no doubt, was disappointed because this particular tree was not fulfilling its purpose. Don't raise your hand. Certainly don't raise your hand, but how many of us want to do God's will in 2023? Absolutely. I hope that's your prayer, and I hope that that's your desire. And so this master of this vineyard has, in a sense, said, I've planted this tree for a purpose. I've placed it where it's at for a purpose. I've put them in that field. I've put you at that job. I've put you in that family. I've put you in that location. And there's a purpose for you being there. And I'm coming by year after year, and I'm looking for there to be fruit from where you've been planted. We don't always see the fruit in a person's heart. We don't always know how a person labors. By the way, we don't serve the Lord because someone's watching us. I'm not to serve the Lord because I want to be recognized by man. I'm not to serve the Lord because I've been guilted into it. No, I want to serve God because of a labor of love for all that he has done for me. I just want to give back to him and be a vessel that is meet for the master's use. Just be someone that God can use. And this master came by and he saw that this tree was fruitless. This tree was still a tree. In other words, if we were to translate that spiritually, if you're saved, you're still saved and would still be on your way to heaven, but you can be fruitless. One day we'll stand before the Lord, and one day we will see as he inspects the fruit. Number one is the inspection of the fruit. Number two, the conclusion from the findings. Number one, the inspection of the fruit. Number two, the conclusion from the findings. Look at verse number 7. We read these verses. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years, the Lord of the vineyard has come to a conclusion. Since this tree has been unfruitful, it needs to be removed. Now, I'm under the impression, biblically speaking, this is not 3 years from the time the tree was planted. Because any master, any owner of a vineyard knows it's going to take more than 3 years for it to spring forth fruit. But there's been a season there where it has been fertilized and it has had all that it needs. And now, maybe it's year 6, maybe it's year 9. Now, the clock's ticking. Surely at year 7, I'm going to get more than 6 apples. Surely at year 8, I can just tell you, just for the record, you can write it down in your notes this morning. If we get to year 10, I'm only getting 6 apples. So, 3 years from when this master has charted the course that this tree now should be doing something. It should be producing. It's been in that place long enough. Are you listening? Some of you, God's given you a Sunday school class. He's given you a bus route. He's given you a family. He's given you a ministry. He's given you a title. He's given you people that you work with. And you've been planted there. And you've been there for years. And you've been in that place. And now the Lord said, should be some fruit. There ought to be something to show for it. I mean, it's not like this is year number one. It's not like this is year number two. There ought to be some fruit that's there. And the master comes to that place and said, just cut it down. Just forget about it. It will put another person, another tree, in its place. It won't be able to waste the space and the soil and the nutrients and the water that's needed. It won't be able to hinder the other plants that are around it. Just cut it down. Can I just insert here? God reserves the right to deal with wayward or lazy or unfruitful Christians how He deems. Newsflash, God doesn't have to check with you or me, because He's a sovereign God. In fact, Paul warned the Corinthian church about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, let a man examine himself, that a man not eat or drink unworthily. For this cause many are weak and sickly, and many sleep. And I'm afraid that sometimes we're not afraid of the holy indignation of a just God like we ought to be. And sometimes we trifle with our time, or we trifle with our life, or we trifle with the days that we have. But ladies and gentlemen, those all matter to God. God doesn't intend that you to live your life in fear. God's not interested in you walking around fearful that He's going to strike you down. That's not at all the case. But He does intend that you make your life count for the glory of God. That we are useful and fruitful for the kingdom of God. If you have not been beneficial to the Lord in 2022, what other conclusion should God come up with? Oh, we know you were busy this year. We know you were too busy soaking up all the sun rays to have fruit. Do you think that somebody who grows trees would say, well, this tree was tired this year? Do you think they would say, well, you know, they were just spending the year basking in the sun? So that's silly. I have, I don't know, 8 or 10 pecan trees in my yard, and some of them don't produce anything at all. Some of them produce great pecans. But I've never once thought, as I've walked around or rode a four-wheeler around the side of my yard, and thought, I'll bet that tree was tired this year. It'll be fine, little buddy. No, you know what I've thought? I'm tired of mowing around that one, too. Why is it that somehow we feel as if we can justify whether or not we are fruitful for the kingdom of God? Number three, the suggestion of the farmer. The suggestion of the farmer. Look at verse number 8. And he answering, this is the gardener, the dresser, the farmer, said unto him, the master, Lord, let it alone this year also. And he recommends that the Lord of the vineyard gives it one more year. Plan's pretty simple. Let me fertilize it. Let me aerate the soil. Let me see if it will do any better. If the plan works, great. But if the plan fails, then we'll have no choice but to remove it. Lord, give it one more year if you would. My Lord, if you would, be patient and give it one more chance. My Lord, if you would, be long-suffering and give it one more opportunity. My Lord, if you would, can I plead with you that just one more year we would give this tree a space so that it would do something profitable. By the way, aren't you glad that God treats you that way? Number four, and I'm done. Number four, lastly, notice the resolution for the future. Verse number 9, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. I tell you what, master, here's what we'll do. For the coming year, let's see if it bears fruit. And if it does, great. But if it doesn't, we're going to have to cut it down. Now, here's a question for you. What do you think the master of the vineyard did? We're not specifically told in Luke's writing. We're left to believe that maybe he obliged. If you look at verse number 10, the Bible goes right into the Lord's teaching. Did he leave it to grow another year? Did he show it grace? Was there patience, if there is such a thing, given to this tree? If this fig tree were a picture of our lives, then, oh, my friend, do not miss the application that is found in this story. I'm glad that we serve a God that is long-suffering. I'm glad for the mercy of God and the patience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God gives His people space to repent. God gives the world opportunity to repent. And if mankind is not saved, then they have space that they are to return or to turn to Christ. Peter said this, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But make no mistake about it, God does have a deadline. And once it is crossed, it's too late. You say, preacher, isn't God merciful? Yes, but not forever to those who reject Him. Say, how do we know that? Well, the Bible's replete with examples, but let's just think about Noah for a moment, can we? In Noah's day, God gave them 120 years. But the flood finally came. By the way, regardless of what liberal textbooks have tried to say and what rewriters of history have tried to say, there was a worldwide flood given by the God of heaven. He gave them 120 years, but the flood finally came. And sir, may I say to you, or ma'am, or young person, perhaps it's one more year for you. Perhaps it's one more opportunity. And if you're not saved, now is the day of salvation. If you are lost, you must trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And know that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you are saved, you're not right with God, or you're not fruitful, perhaps today's a good day to figure that out. Well, sometimes people say, well, I don't care. I don't want to change. Doesn't matter to me. And I would tell you that whether you're saved or lost, you have the right to that opinion. But I know this. If you don't bow your heart and your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ now, you will one day, whether you like it or not. Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 10, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that He is Christ Jesus the Lord. At the name of Jesus, He gives strength to the weary. It's the name of Jesus that He gives calm to the fearful. It's the name of Jesus that gives comfort to the lonely. It's the name of Jesus that gives peace to those that are hurting. It's the name of Jesus that the demons of hell tremble because of. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow one day. Scorners may hurl doubt against the deity of Christ, and liberal politicians may erase Jesus from history, and mockers may try to drag His name through the vile wickedness of the day, and followers of Buddha and Muhammad may try to place their God in the place of Jesus, and perhaps even tyrants may burn the Bible, and they may martyr Christians. But make no mistake about it, there's coming a day when at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. One more year. Could be the last. Do we really believe that Jesus is coming again? I mean, we say amen to that and we heartily agree. But is there fruit of that? Do we really believe that in 2023 we might see the Savior face to face? Look, last year's gone. There's things that perhaps you wish you could do different, but if it's a sin or if it's something that has plagued you, then I'm glad that we know the Scripture. And if you're saved and if you're a child of God and if you have asked forgiveness of that sin, the Bible tells us that sin is blotted out. It's in the depths of the sea. We're forgiven. Maybe there's failures last year, things you wish you could change, but now you can't erase them. Babe Ruth is a baseball legend. No matter how long time stands, and no matter how many people come to the plate in the sport of Major League Baseball, you're not erasing the name Babe Ruth. He set all kinds of firsts for hits and for certainly for home runs. But did you know that Babe Ruth struck out over 1,000 times? That's more than the home runs. If I got my math right. Nobody remembers that. They remember how many times he hit the ball over the fence. There may be some things in your past this year that you completely failed and you messed it up. Maybe there's some grievances that are in the past, some people that hurt you or some things that hurt you. And I'm simply saying to you today, it's time to move past that. You've got another year. I'm amazed that some people can't get along with their spouse and can't get along with their children, can't get along with the people they work with, can't get along with people at church, and can't get along with their dog and cat. Things that you think hurt you the most this year, years from now, may not mean much of anything. I don't mean to make light of that. I've been hurt just like you have. But this is another year. And it's time to leave it behind and move forward for the glory of God. This man made a resolution. One more year, we're going to see if we get any fruit from this. Weekend, lots of resolutions were made. Lots of booze was poured down the drain, which is where it should have been anyway. Cigarettes thrown in the garbage, which is where they belong. Potato chips and ice cream put back on the shelf. I'm not sure I agree with that one. And how long will they last? Till Friday? I mean, resolutions are great. There's nothing wrong with them. But may I challenge you, ladies and gentlemen, don't you make promises to God that you don't intend to keep. So in the next few minutes that I have with this message, can I give you three things that every Christian ought to do this coming year? There's a lot more you could add to the list. I just want to give us three. Very simple. Number one, pray more. Pray more. I spent, 21 weeks, I think, preaching on the home. And many times in that series entitled Heaven Help the Home, we spoke about the fact that Satan is powerful, and he's out to destroy your home. I'm glad that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Sometimes we look around at this generation and we talk about them like they're all wicked and they're all going, oh, this generation. Hey, look around. There's a lot of people seated in church this morning right around you under the age of 25. Thank God for that. I believe they can live for God. I believe they can make a difference. I believe they can be sold out for God. Aren't you glad you don't have to have one foot in the grave to be victorious spiritually? Thank God for that. But I'm simply saying to you, Satan is real and he is powerful, and it is possible that they may have more vices to fight against today than what you and I live with. You know what that tells me? You better pray more. Your children and your grandchildren can need it. Number two, care more. Number one, pray more. Number two, care more. Here's a question I ask myself. That I shed in 2022 over the lost. You shed a bunch of them in Hallmark movies, sissy. I know this. In my own neighborhood, I've worked for years to witness and to build a testimony and to invite people to church. December the 18th, I got to add two more to that list that I personally preached the gospel to. There's seven houses on my street. Five of the seven, five, I personally preached the gospel to. It doesn't make me anything, because to those people, I'm not a preacher on Tuesday. I'm somebody that works in their yard just like they do. I'm somebody that works on their car in the driveway just like they do. But I have determined that with everything within my being, that I will pray for them by name and I will do my best to give them the gospel. I want to ask you, will you care more? You've been given another year. How many more do you think you've got? Pray more. Care more. Number three, give more. We've been blessed to see wonderful things that God has done, miraculous provision, but God has no lack of that with which to give back to His people. I don't care about your money. And by the way, neither does God. Oh, He cares. He cares about your heart. But God's not influenced whether you write a big check or not. And maybe you go through an entire year and you never write one of those great big checks. It doesn't matter. But little by little and week by week, you can determine that God will increase your faith. Why not start today to trust God? Master, spare the tree. Give it one more year. In World War I, King Emmanuel of Italy was called to use some of the state of his troops out in the field. There was a caravan of five cars that were making their way through the field, headed to the front lines, and the cars came across landmines. Four of the five cars went up into flames. The fifth car carried King Emmanuel. And their car stopped just before the explosion. In the car right in front of them, there was a captain and a lieutenant, and the lieutenant was hurt very badly. The captain got out of the car and rushed over to where the lieutenant was, and the lieutenant pled with him to flee, to leave, in case there was another explosion, but the captain wouldn't leave him. Reached down on that battlefield, and he cradled the head of that young lieutenant, and as he knelt down, he heard behind him the wheels of that car driving off. Within a matter of seconds, that lieutenant drew his last breath and the captain lost it. He started to cry out, "I'm all by myself. I'm close to the front lines. The king has left me on the battlefield. There is no hope. The car is gone." And then in the distance, just a few steps away in the bushes, he heard, "The car is gone. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that we have another year. And the King is watching to see how we will respond. God wants to use you for His glory. Will you meet the challenge and be fruitful? Father, I pray that You'll help us to take this as a personal challenge to our hearts. Oh, Lord Jesus, I ask that in each of us, wherever we may find ourselves and whatever the branches of our life look like, oh God, help us to be fruitful. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. One more year to bear fruit. I wonder how many of us in the room this morning would say, "Preacher, setting out in 2023 to be a delight to the Heavenly Father." I suppose that's all of us. But you're going to have to put feet to that. Can I ask you a question or two? How many would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I'm 100% sure that I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven." Would you slip your hand up so I can see it? thank you all across the room. If you didn't raise your hand, I want to pray for you. Would you let me do that? Is there anybody who would say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. I don't really know for sure. If I died today, I'm not sure that I would go to heaven. Would you slip your hand up so I can see it and I can pray for you? Is there anybody like that? Preacher, pray for me. Anybody at all, I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I do want to pray for you. Here's a question. I don't mean it to be a blanket question. I just mean it to cause us to think. How many can say, Pastor, it is my desire that in 2023, my life will bear more fruit? Would you slip your hand up as a testimony all over the room this morning? Father, you see our hands. Help us, Lord, to be fruitful, not for this church, not for ourselves, but for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please? The piano is playing. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.